Come, Holy Spirit, come and fall afresh upon your people gathered at this All Saints Sunday. Be in the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, that both will be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm going to come down here so I don't fall over on the steps, first of all. All Saints Sunday is one of those treasures in the church calendar. Look around you. The names of the many of the saints who have gone before us that you and I hold dear. Those saints who have blessed us with joy. They've blessed us with peace. They have blessed us with their love. So many of them have blessed us with helping us to discover who we are and who we are in Christ in the many ways that they affirm that in us. So this morning we're going to be talking, focusing on the generational blessings and as well as some of the generational struggles that come down and that some of the saints carry. A friend of mine said about healing of the family tree, he said, I shook my family tree and a bunch of nuts fell out. I think that's true for each of us, isn't it? Don't we have some nuts in our family trees? Some of them might be sitting in the pews right here. Excluding the clergy, of course. No. Yeah. A good thing Deb isn't here. She'd have something to say about that comment. But think about the blessings, the generational blessings in your family, in your family. In mine, some of the generational blessings have to do with faith. Growing up, I can't remember ever not having a church home to go to on a Sunday morning. The flocks changed, but the people didn't, God's beloved children. I was raised on a farm, and on my grandmother's side, there's generations of farmers. It's no wonder that it passed down to me in the form of flower farming, right? Generational blessing. On my mother's side, there's four generations. I was counting them this morning. Four continuous generations of nurses in our family. On my grandfather's side, there are four generations of Methodist ministers, Methodist pastors. Somehow I wound up in a different flock and thankful for it. I'm going to move this just to the side for a moment. So what are some of the blessings? I'm down here because this is more of an interactive time. I want to ask you, just what are some of the blessings that are passing down through your family generations? What are they? Just teachers. Art and music. Health. Wholeness. Faithfulness.
Pastors.
Yeah. How many in your generations, Jim?
Two.
That's a good start, isn't it?
Yeah.
What else? Sports. Children. Yes. Humor. Curiosity. What else? Passion?
Compassion.
I like passion too, by the way. Remember, it did say in the song, be joyous in your bed. Okay, we won't go there, all right? I just want to say it was the word of God this morning, okay? All right. Okay, back to it, Brian, John, get back to it. So, one this morning, you have a worksheet in the back of your bulletin. It's the worksheet, it's basically listing family names and generations. And there's a place on there to write down some of the blessings that you have just been sharing, to write down the blessings There's also a place to write down family struggles. And after I finish these words, not during my words, but after my words, just want to pause and let you fill those out. When you come up for communion, we're going to place some in the basket as you come up for communion. Then we'll take our families and place them on the altar. We give them to the Lord and ask the Lord to come and move with his light and his love, strengthening the blessings and setting us free from some of those struggles that are passing down through the generations. And so, you've heard me, I think, I said before, a friend of mine has said, for the risk of not giving God thanks for our blessings, we run the risk that they will diminish. And so this is one of those wonderful opportunities this morning. Lord, thank you for the blessings. And we can write those down and we take them to God, place it on his altar. So with the struggles now, let's move to this because it's so important that some of those nuts that fall out of the family tree, they have adverse effects in our families. And listen to the words from that God is giving to Moses in Exodus. It says, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for the thousandth generation, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, yet by no means clearing the guilty, but visiting the iniquity of the parents upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. My friends, there's some real truth in this. Just think about those folks. What are some of the family struggles that you see? Here, it's always a little bit easier to talk about someone else's family at this moment. But for my family, some of those struggles have been control, the need to be in control, having my way rather than the Lord's way. Part of the confession is there's been prejudice and bias in my family. What are some of the other things that have struggled? There's been divorce. There's been illnesses to come down, cancer and arthritis, especially in the family. What about for you? Alcohol and drugs, addictions. LGBT, yeah. Divorce, yeah. Anger, depression. Pettiness, gossip. Miscommunications, yeah. I mean, there's unforgiveness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, just all sorts of things coming down. Politics? No, not politics. No. And so what I want to lift up to you is so much of those struggles that come down through the generations, that's a reality for every family present this morning. Those wonderful blessings, and yet those struggles that tend to deny us the inheritance of Christ that was mentioned in Ephesians. Let me just read that. It says, in Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance. Jesus said, I have come so that you would have life, and it would be abundant. I have come so that you would have joy, and you would have fullness of joy. I have come so to set the captives free. This is part of our inheritance. Yes, I believe Paul is talking about the gift of eternal life, but that eternal life, at least in my experience, is also right now. This is part of it. And so those struggles that come down through our family lines tend to diminish the joys, tends to diminish the abundance of life, tends to kind of hold us captive in certain areas of our relationships. I can remember that I had been invited to speak at a conference in Virginia some years ago at Norfolk, and it was on generational healing, healing the family tree. And we went through the workshop. They had asked me to preach on Sunday morning. On Monday, the coordinator of that conference called me and said, "John, the most remarkable thing happened is that when I got home on Sunday evening, my daughter had sent me an email." He and his daughter had not spoken for 2 years. He didn't even know where she lived. That was the depth of estrangement. But in that service of healing the family legacy, healing the family tree, that's part of what we're doing this morning, it was that God's light and love moved into that place of heartache, of loneliness instead of joy. And all of a sudden, daughter and father are back together again. And he said, "Honey, how did you even get my phone number and my email address?" And he said, "Well, I saw this conference listed on the church and had your name and your phone number and email address." Mm-hmm. This is what we are up to today, is that in those the iniquity of the parents, you know what the iniquities are? They're the sins of the ancestors. And they do have consequence into the third and fourth generations. And we tend to be susceptible to sin in the same way as our forebears did. So in that third and fourth generation, if one of those generations falls into that trap, that same sin, it just keeps moving in. Does that make sense? Just into the next third and fourth. So what is at the heart of healing the family legacy, dealing with those family struggles, is what's called representational confession, is that coming before the Lord. And there's wonderful examples of this. This is what Moses is doing before the Lord in that reading from Exodus. Hear the rest of what he says. It says, "If now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, I pray, let the Lord go with us, although this is a stiff-necked people." Not talking about grace now, okay? "Pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your inheritance." Do you hear the confession? Pardon our iniquity and our sin, asking God for forgiveness. Daniel does the very same thing. Daniel is highly respected, even referred to in places as one of the prophets of the people of Israel. Daniel he comes before the Lord. We pick up, it's Daniel 9, verse 4. It says, Daniel says, "I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, Ah, Lord, great and awesome God, keeping covenant and steadfast love with those who love you and keep your commandments, we have sinned and done wrong. We have acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and our ordinances." See how he is representing the people of Israel and just being honest before the Lord, confessing on behalf. And then he asks the Lord to forgive the people of Israel. You and I, as a member of our family, we have a God-given right, and I would even say responsibility, to come before the Lord and on behalf of our families just confess what is in there. Where our family members have messed up, where we have wronged, where we have turned away from God's ways and moved into our own. And this is one of my favorite parts of Scripture. Daniel moves to, he does the confession first, and then he asks the Lord's forgiveness. It says, "Incline your ear, O my God, and hear. Open your eyes and look at our desolation and the city that bears your name. We do not present our supplication before you on the ground of our righteousness, but on the ground of your great mercies." And he cuts to the chase here. He says, "O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act, and do not delay. For your own sake, O my God, because your city and your people bear your name. So I'm going to shush now, because here comes the more important part. The back of your bulletin is that simple form to put down names, yours, siblings, parents, grandparents, and then a place for the blessings. Here's to emphasize, Lord, we thank you for the blessings. And then to put down the struggles. And then what happens, as I mentioned, we bring them up, we'll place them on the altar, and we'll ask God's mercy, his forgiveness, his light and love to clean house, to clean some of those family closets, to set us free from some of those struggles. So Lord, come, be in our hearts, be in our thoughts. Stir within us what you desire to free us from, and those generational family struggles this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.